We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jason Bottrell joins the instigators. And Craig Rive, Botts, you are walking into a very interesting morning. I left this morning because I could not handle him. This is not a joke. I've never left at 9:40 in the morning. Ever, and I could not handle this guy, so I went, took a little break.
It's one of the best days in 3 years I've been here.
Three shows in, I have to leave because he's driving me nuts. And yeah, two dry erase boards of lineups, and now Jason Bottrell in the...
So he brought a lot of energy after being away for, what, a month and a half?
What do you say about just guys that get that? Would you say there's a little bit too much time off for work put in throughout the year?
He does have a very good tan right now.
Thank you very much. I was going to say the same about you.
Speaking of big days, do you know what today is? Do you happen to know what today is just by maybe coincidence? Because I know might happen to be one of my favorite players in the last 7 years.
You know what today is.
Did you send him a birthday text?
I did not send him a birthday text, but I do understand what jersey number he wears, 87. So,
yeah, he's delivered three rings, You know, three rings at the dinner table.
It was nice to ride his coattails for those three rings.
Is he – okay, so we saw top 20 centers, and we're going to get into salary cap stuff, the team this year. You know, is he one of the best players that we've ever seen? I mean, I know there's Gretzky's, and I'm not trying to – maybe I am trying to steer you a little bit, but – I hated him when I played against him for reasons that I'm sure you understand and heard all the criticisms toward him. But he has developed and turned into just one of the most amazing examples of a young kid coming in with a ton of pressure, handled the pressure to superstardom and beyond.
Well, just the professionalism he shows on and off the ice and his work ethic. You just look at things that he's worked on. His first year didn't do a very good job from a face-off perspective. Became one of the best face-off guys in the entire league. Was more of a passer when he first entered the league, worked on his shot a lot. Now he can score at will if he wants to. So that work ethic that he does and just off-ice training, nutrition, he's created an entire culture in Pittsburgh. So he brought that on and showed that to Chris Letang. Chris Letang shows it to someone like Jake Guentzel, and it just creates that atmosphere there.
And you know what? It was learned. Mm-hmm. As much as maybe Sidney Crosby had the leadership qualities in junior, I don't think when he came in as a young guy, he was very well liked from the refs, from the players. He was very whiny, but he was surrounded with some really great leaders in Pittsburgh. And he's grown into one of the greatest leaders in the game. I mean, how he, the star-studded talent, he's the face of the National Hockey League for so many years, and you don't see him in the limelight. I mean, he's the guy that you want all your young guys to
emulate. And that's a question I'll ask you right off the bat. Like, do you talk to your players or any about guys like Sid and how they go about becoming the best? And not even that every player has the ability to be the best, but this sounds cheesy, but from a guy who probably looks back and reflects on mistakes, I can say, you know, be the best version of yourself, I guess. And what he does and how he goes about his business, do you talk to your players about this? Like, hey, or do you try to leave Pittsburgh behind you? You know, the old saying, if we had a guy on our team, you'll cut the cord and all that. But I mean, it's a great example.
No, you certainly talk. And there's so much respect for Sid throughout the entire National Hockey League, especially within our own locker room. So you do try to talk about stories. And I think with Sid, everyone focuses in on winning the Stanley Cup in 09. But he learned so much of the disappointments of, you know, 12 in the conference final getting swept by Boston, 13 having a great team, but then getting knocked out in the first round, 14 losing the second round after having a 3-1 series lead. He learned from those mistakes, and it really drove him to the success in 16 and 17. And, you know, I think it's what we've tried to create here, you know, bringing in players with playoff experience. Marcus Johansson, Colin Miller, Connor Sheary the year before. they learn from veteran elite players, and you want them to bring that into the locker room and help the team out in certain situations.
When you brought let's talk Johansson for a second here. When you brought Johansson, Jason Botchel joining the Instigators here on this glorious Wednesday, Craig Reveille's attitude is perfect for what we need. Marcus Johansson, when you signed him, where does he fit for you? Where is he going to be playing? I mean, if you can tell us that, maybe the unknown, yep. But. You know, there's a lot of talk about second line center. He played really well during the playoffs on the wing.
On the right wing, with Krejci and DeBrusk. But he was a left winger for most of the season, right? Where do you see him this year?
Well, that's part of the reason why we wanted to sign him. We just wanted to mess you guys up through the entire summer on what the lineup's going to be. But in all seriousness, it's one of the reasons why we wanted to bring in. Not only I think it's 8 of the last 9 years he's been in the playoffs. But then it's also his versatility. And you want to give your coach different options throughout your lineup, because we can never predict what's going to happen from an injury standpoint. And the fact that he can play left wing or right wing, I think, is a great situation and complements our team very well. This team here and our fans think Connor Shearer is just a left winger. You know, if you look at it, all his time in the minors, he played the right side and stuff too. So there's versatility with a lot of our players. And it goes through the lineup. Gergensen, Larson, both can play center wing. Sabaka, center wing. That's what we're trying to create here, is in a situation of, we understand that we can have the high-end scorers. Jack, Sam, Jeff all proved that last year. But we have to have four lines that can contribute. And, you know, in the middle of August, I can't tell you exactly how all the lineups are going to be, but we feel that we've at least given Ralph different opportunities and different options for once the season starts.
I caught a quote somewhere. You can tell me if you said it or not, but it was about Sam driving his own line and not being Jack's, just known as Jack's wingman. And is that an option? I mean, Jack, much like I feel like Sid or these other top centermen, should be able to play with anybody. And if he had that duo, if he's with Jeff or whoever, Skinner that is, Is that kind of in the thought process of, if Sam can drive his own line, who do we put on that right wing, and who would be the perfect fit? And does cost efficiency in terms of players and performance come into those decisions?
Yeah, and I think you talked about earlier about Sidney Crosby. I think that was one of his big development as a player. It used to be a lot of discussion on who's going to be on Sid's wing. Now it seems like whoever goes up there, Sid pulls the best out of him. And you've seen that with the development of Jake Guentzel. Not taking anything away from Jake Guentzel in Pittsburgh, but he's there. And then this year they made the trades for a player like McCann. He goes up there and has success too. And I truly believe Jack has that same ability. He's that talented. He likes holding on to the puck. He can create opportunities for anyone that plays up there with him. And
so what Botts is trying to say is, if you play left wing of Sidney Crosby, you're going to be making probably $6 million and score 30. He has the ability to do that.
I might get 12. Let's go from 0 to 12, not 0 to 30.
But that's where, with some of our young players, whether it's an Olsson, a C.J. Smith, a Tage Thompson, if they can play further up in the lineup there, I think it just gives us more depth. And I saw it with Sam Reinhart. You know, this, I think there's been a great sort of progression in his development over the last year or so. Off the ice, taking more responsibility in our locker room. I worked with him at World Championships this spring. I thought a couple of his best games was the semifinal game and then the gold medal game. He played with Couturier on our second line for Team Canada. I don't know how he didn't score in the gold medal game, but the fact that he played one of his best games in a gold medal situation is great for his development and shows that in pressure situations, he can handle it. And, hey, if he plays with Jack, we know they're going to create a lot. But whether he's playing with Evan Rodriguez or whether he's playing with Casey or Middlestat, I think Sam's really taken the leadership role and wants to be a go-to guy on that line.
Instigators, Jason Botchel joining us. So you talk about messing us up with bringing in Johansson, trying to figure out, you know, where we're going to put him on our lineups. I read cap friendly, and it's zero in the availability in terms of money. Can you make some sense out of that for us?
Well,
you're known for the cap. You're a capologist in Pittsburgh. You guys won under this formulation and all that sort of formula. So, you know, what does this all spell?
Well, look, these websites do an amazing job of keeping everything up to date. But the bottom line is they're picking our roster for us right now in August, and we don't have to do anything until the start of October. And the bottom line is we don't have to make a trade. We have some players who are injured on our back end. Zach Bogosian's coming off of hip surgery. Lawrence Pilot had shoulder surgery. Matt Hunwick had a lot of injuries last year. So there's going to be opportunities there to use, the potential for long-term injury. We'll have to wait and see how things go at the start of training camp for updates there. Also, too, if you put a player in the minors, you know, it's a situation where we can get close to 1.1 million in cap relief there. So
much like the Molson situation from a few years ago.
So what we like about it is, look, we want to add more competition to our group here. We want to make sure that if our young players performed well in training camp, they were going to be the opportunity to make our opening day lineup. And we want to have more depth where we had four lines contributing to our team. And we knew when we made the free agent sign in Marcus Johansson that we were going to be close to the cap. But we felt it made our team that much stronger. So we like the situation we're in right now. We don't have to make a trade to become cap compliant. We've gone over a zillion different scenarios. We don't have to be make a trade to be cap compliant. And as much as the last couple weeks have been difficult weeks going through the salary arbitration process, what's great about it is we have all the contracts done now. There's no holdouts. There's nothing, you know, we can focus in on how we're going to get things going, and we'll continue to have discussions with other teams on, hey, is there a trade that makes sense for us? But we don't have to worry about, hey, is this guy going to show up in camp? We can get things going on day one in camp.
Well, your salary cap situation to me spells one thing, and that's a challenge to a lot of players. I mean, there are a lot of guys here that, I don't want to say bubble players, but guys that could potentially, their earning ability could go up, their earning potential, their roster positions could disappear. I mean, there's a lot of different guys that could, like a Jimmy Vesey could re-sign. I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios. Is that something that you go over with guys in these situations? Is it a make it or break it year for you, or this is a year where we don't know what's going to happen?
Is this what
or
you wanted?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the 2019-20 season, you have everyone signed, but the next season, you have 10 unrestricted free agents, you have five guys that are on a restricted free agent deals, guys are going to be playing for earning potential. Was this for a design for you?
100%. And it's a situation of giving opportunities for young players to come in and into our lineup, but also having the cap flexibility moving forward so you don't get in a situation where you have to trade one of your players that you want on your team. Trying to predict where the salary cap's going to go in the future is very difficult. You know, let me know if you know how to predict the Canadian dollar. And now with the NHLPA not taking the 5% inflator all the time, trying to limit escrow a little bit, it's not nearly going up as much. And we utilize that to our benefit in picking up a player like Colin Miller. And we want to continue to have that flexibility. And I think we've shown when a player performs, we want to sign them up long term, whether it was Jack Eichel a couple years ago, with Jeff Skinner this year. But we still want to have that flexibility moving forward for our lineup and our roster.
We talk about lineups and complementary players. Jimmy Vesey, you both were on a conference call after you made the deal for him. He identified himself as a goal scorer. I think you believe he can be a goal scorer. Is he a guy that, I mean, again, you can't predict where he plays in the lineup, but is he a guy that maybe in Ralph Kruger's head or your head that you're thinking, he and Jack have some pretty good chemistry. If Sam drives his own line, maybe there's a spot for him on that top line. Because as you mentioned, I mean, you could get 25 goals out of a guy making 2.275.
Yeah, and that's where I like it. I think the last couple of years he's had 16 or 17 even strength goals each year. Those are good numbers. And I think if you add a little bit more to the power play, and then we feel there's a little bit of opportunity to bump that 16 to 17 up to into the low 20s. So, yeah, there might be an opportunity to play with Jack. But I also think whether it's Evan Rodriguez, whether it's Casey Middlestad, whether it's, you know, one of our other centermen, he's going to be an offensive player. And we're trying to create four lines that can score, that can help out with our team. And it's not only that Jimmy can score, but I think where he does score, he scores in front of the net. We have to get more traffic from that. We need to do a better job of, from a defensive standpoint, of limiting our opportunities in the D zone in front of the net, but we have to get to the net there more often. And that was an element that we're lacking. I think Sam Reinhart's done a great job of getting to the net and scoring there.
I was just going to say.
I think Jimmy is a guy that complements our group very well.
Like I said to you the other day, I saw him at the Harbor Center. He was walking through Tim Hortons. And the one thing that you do notice with the Sabres lineup, it's a little bit on the smaller side. Jimmy Vesey's a big kid. He's got to be upwards of 6'3" and over 200 pounds. He has that size, that frame. And like you said, he scores even strength goals, and they're in front of the net. There's no secret to where you're going to score goals in this league. You either have to get in front of the goaltender because the goaltenders are too good. They're going to save everything that they see.
Yep.
So you have to get traffic. You have to get bodies in front. You have to make it difficult on these guys. And Jimmy Vesey, I mean, he's going to be a guy that's going to live in front front of the net, a lot like Sam Reinhart, guys like that. So,
well, he in the summer he trains with Jack, with Mike Boyle in Boston there. So it's a situation where there's that comfort there, right there. There's a relationship there that just makes the transition to Buffalo that much easier. And you talk about where you score goals. That was Parham in the second half. You talk about where you score goals in the playoffs. It's those dirty areas. Well, in the second half, our team certainly saw how the intensity increases in the National Hockey League after the All-Star break, and we weren't able to get to that level. And that's where we're trying to bring in players that can complement our group better, and we think Jimmy scores goals in those difficult areas in key moments.
I'll just say this, too. I really appreciated how he handled the questions about not signing here before.
Yep.
I beat him down pretty good on the radio. I knew that, but I mean it was, you know, I think in a small market like Buffalo, when you have hopes for a player coming here, you know, you almost get offended, right? And
yep.
I think that was, you know, the small market mindset coming out, and in the standpoint of you might have felt snubbed, but his explanation of it, I thought was really good. Now, was that something you guys talked about before he ends up, you know, before? Did you talk to him before you move for him? Or?
No, we didn't talk to him. Obviously, being part of the New York Rangers, we didn't talk to him. We didn't, you know from that standpoint, but we wanted to take the chance on it. And look, it's what we love about Buffalo. People are proud about Buffalo, and we've talked a lot about it. Like the way we turn things around here is bringing in people who want to be in Buffalo. You know, Jeff Skinner waving his no trade to come here. Marcus Johansson wants to sign here as a free agent. And, you know, I think that's what people are going to be excited about with Jimmy Vesey. Is like he's been in town a few times to check things out. He's excited about the opportunity here. And, hey, when you're coming out of school as a 22-year-old and you have the opportunity to go to 30 different teams, it's a difficult choice. And now he's been in the league for a little bit, understands the opportunity that he has here, just as we talk about the excitement of what he can bring in. Jimmy's excited because he's in a year's time from now, he's looking, we think we're going to get a very motivated player. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. He wants to have that big payday. He wants to establish himself in the National Hockey League as not a 16, 17 goal scorer, but a 20 to 25 goal scorer here. So we think we're going to get a very motivated player who is excited about being in Buffalo.
How far, talking to Jason Botchel, obviously general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, kind enough to join us today. How far in advance does a general manager or a capologist, even for that matter, when you were in Pittsburgh,
yep,
look down the road at salary cap numbers? Because next year you have a ton of money, whether the players come back or not, and there are some RFAs you have to resign, but how far down the road do you look? I mean, obviously Darlene, obviously certain guys, but like, are you calculating in your mind, like, are you down to 25, 26, or are you just staying right now and next year?
What we always
Can
work
I
on.
Ask one question before you answer that, because I think this goes along really well with your question. In 2020 and 21, you talk about the lockout. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say that word, but that's the reality of the game until something's is that one of the reasons why you have so many UFA and RFAs that you don't know if there's going to be a season that year?
Look, I'm optimistic that we will have one, but that has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
That doesn't come into our equation or our belief at all. Why we did it the way it did is more having that flexibility from year to year. And the way we look at it, Andrew, to answer your question, we have certainly where you're looking at the next year, the 1 year, you have 3-year projections and 5-year projections. But within that, we also know that a trade comes along, a player like Marcus Johansson comes available, you have to have the ability to adjust. And that's what we're just trying to have, is we're always trying to have that flexibility. We know Rasmus Dahlin eventually is going to have a very large contract. But we also have to be prepared if one of our other players step up in the next couple of years, whether it's a Joki Harju or a Will Borgen continues to develop, or one of our forwards comes on. We want to at least be able to not be locked into so many contracts that we can't keep that young player that we want to have on our roster. So, and this is something I've learned over my course of my career. And when I first came in, I came in 2007 in Pittsburgh. And all we talked about was 5-year, projections. Then that trade deadline, we traded for Marian Hossa, and everything changed. And it was all about when now. And that's where you want to always have an eye on the future to make sure that you can keep your young players within your organization, the players that you want to grow with. But you always have to have that flexibility. That's such a key asset to really, if there's an opportunity to jump on and to improve your team, you want to be able to do it.
Jason Botchel joining the Instigators here. Not sure how long he's going to be sticking around. Hopefully past 10th. We bumped JR for you. Just so you know.
I feel honored.
Did you ever play with JR?
I never played with JR. My father, who's a sports psychologist, worked with him in Chicago.
Oh, I'd love to know what your dad thinks. Those are things about that brain.
But to be honest,
earned his money there.
My father, I grew up in Winnipeg. I was thinking about going the college route. I ended up going out to prep schools in New England, and the Roenick family, Jeremy Roenick's family, gave us 5 schools to sort of look at out there in Boston. So always been tied in with him from that standpoint. And look, my dad certainly probably has some stories, but you talk about a guy who brought energy, who brought passion to the game. JR always did that for sure.
Yeah, tell me about it. You would have been drafted if you had gone to the WHL, right?
Yeah, I was drafted by the Brandon Weekings.
So you were drafted?
Yep.
But, like, was it one of those I'm going to go to college type things?
That you later? Always told them that I was going to go to college, and then it's unique how it works. So then I played World Juniors as 17 and 18-year-old and 19-year-old, and it was interesting. They always put me with the Brandon Weekings. So it was Marty Murray my first 2 years, then Wade Redden, just trying to maybe push me along to the junior route. But, look, I had a ton of respect because at the time, Kelly McCrimmon, who's now the general manager in Vegas, ran the team in Brandon and did a great job with it. They were vying for Memorial Cups. But I loved my 4 years at University of Michigan.
So you were drafted first round into the NHL. Where were you drafted?
At Michigan. I was a freshman at Michigan, so I just finished my freshman year there.
I watched you play against Ferris State that year, but
the Ferris State Bulldogs, gotta love it.
You had a decent game, I think. So what about we talk about long-term salary cap? Jason Botchell joining us here on the Instigators. So a couple names on the team. You traded for Montour and Sam Reinhart, RFAs at the end of the year. I don't know if you'll tell us if you've talked to them, when you'll start talking to them. Is there a timetable that you have and maybe getting an extension done, or is that wait till the end of the year type
thing? I think it's going to be late, certainly. We'll see how the season plays out from that standpoint. But if you look around the league, like the league is still frozen from all these Group 2 free agents who haven't signed. And that's where we feel, as I talked to you earlier, going through the salary arbitration process, at least we have everyone signed up. And I think agents are still trying to figure out how this Group 2 market's going to be. And so when you're before talking about extensions, a guy and players a year out, let's see how things progress for the rest of the summer here first.
Have you ever seen this many big-name RFAs in one summer? I mean, this many future stars. I mean, from Aho to Laine that we forget about to Marner to, I mean, Kachuk.
Kyle Connor.
You
just see the young players coming into the league and how well-prepared they are and becoming impact players right off the bat. And I think the unique thing that you're seeing this summer is just how does we have a new thing here coming with the wingers and these wingers who are driving lines and are top scorers. You know, whether it's Austin Matthews, Jack Eichel, McDavid, you sort of had a bit of a market for centers coming out of their entry-level contracts. But now all these wingers, how is that all going to, you know, come into the equation? And the fact that they're not all just 8-year deals, there's some shorter-term deals, balancing that, it's certainly a unique situation. But to have this many talented players, I think it's great for a league, but it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out here.
Does that make you nervous, with this group right now? It seems like this group in particular this year, it's almost like they seem to be like market setters.
Yep.
Everybody's waiting to kind of see the trickle-down effect, which guy is going to sign first, and then you obviously compare.
Yep.
You look at Sam Reinhart. He had a really nice season last year with 65 points. Still has room to continue to develop. He's still a pretty young guy. Does it make you nervous, waiting and seeing how the market's going to play out for these guys?
Not at all, Craig, because what these players that you just rattled off before, Tkachuk, Rantanen, Marner, they're all very talented players, and that's what we wanted to make sure we have the cap flexibility moving forward. But if one of our young players sort of pops and becomes that great player, like, those are good problems to have. Okay. You can talk about different teams in the National Hockey having salary cap issues and this and that. Well, it's probably because they have very good players on their line and in their roster. And that's what the point that we want to get to here is having good young players that we're locking up longer term here.
Yeah, wouldn't it suck for Casey Mittelstadt to become an $8 million player, Craig?
Exactly.
It would be some pretty good numbers.
In a cap world, there's just only so much money to go around. And you see, like you said, the top teams, a lot of these top teams in the league, they have an overabundance of top-end talent, and they're trying to find ways to sign these guys, and they're having a hard time. And you just look to, like, is it beneficial to be looking to sign a player like Sam Reinhart or a Montour who are on restricted free agent deals to try and sign them earlier and maybe get sign them to a little bit less?
Well, it takes both. There's always that communication going on, and signing less is always a unique term, I think, and stuff. But like the way I look at it is, especially with where our organization's at right now, we have to have some results. We have to have some results on the ice. We have to have some success before signing a lot of long-term contracts. And that's what we're going to be looking at. And the other thing that I think we have to certainly bring up, and what we've always kept an eye on, is, yeah, when you give these higher-end players significant money, it's imperative that you have a lot of young players coming through your organization. And it's why we were very excited about adding a guy like Yoki Haraju. You look at last week just at the U-20s in Plymouth, having Samuelson and Ryan Johnson sort of be a pair for the U.S. team and could be possibly a great pair at World Juniors this year. That gets us started. It's imperative for these teams to stay, for you to keep sustain long-term success in the National Hockey League. You're going to pay your top-end guys, especially when you have a little bit of success. You're going to pay them even more. You have to have the young players coming through your system, and that's what we're trying to accomplish here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Jack, 15th in the league, centerman. Thoughts on that? Appropriately placed? Do you think he could be higher? Do you think
I think you just look at last year, and I think you talked to Jack. He loved how he played in the first half. When our team was playing extremely well in November, December, I think he was playing at a heart candidate level.
We had
but,
him there,
but
yeah.
Now it's a situation where we have to, just like our team, Jack's got to sustain in over 82 games. And that's what I love about working with Jack is he's hungry. He's hungry to have success from an individual standpoint, but also hungry to have success from a team standpoint. And, it was great to see him going over to the World Championships in the spring. For myself, I always try to push our players to go over there. We need to get used to playing hockey games in the month of May. And for him to go over there, I think was great for him. You learn from other players. You learn from different experiences. You play in games that are meaningful. And I think he's ready to take the next jump. And I think everyone talks about NHL experience, and they always talk about the positives. Oh, you had a great playoff run. He learned a lot of experience. Oh, he had a hat trick. That's a great experience. Well, the second half of this past year, a lot of our young players had difficult experiences. And they've learned a lot from it. And that's what I liked a lot about in our communication, whether it's with Risto, whether it's with Rasmus Dahlin, Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart. There's reflection on what went really well in the first part of your season and what needs to change in the second part of the season. And that's what is great to see, the development of our own players. And then that's what we've tried to bring in players to help this group.
So what do you say to them at the end of the year? What do you tell them to help them kind of wipe away the bad experience that they had the second half of the year?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The first message was, okay, we change coaches. If we think that's going to resolve all our issues, we're in a lot of trouble. And then it's more of the individual thing, get away from it a while, and then we followed up with them on, well, okay, what did you, in certain situations, when we were in a two-game losing streak or three-game losing streak, why didn't we stop it at two or three? What continued to sort of pile on? And I think you just saw it as a team throughout the year. When things were going well, we rode the wave. We, as a young team, we had that momentum to keep going. When things weren't going well, we didn't have enough things stopping things right now. Whether it was a timely goal, a big save, a big hit, it just didn't work for us. And that's where there's always talk about leadership, and our veteran players need to be stronger in that development. But what we're also creating, just like we're trying to have four lines that can contribute offensively, we're trying to have a roster of leaders, a roster of doing your part to help a group out. And leadership's not always this 15-minute amazing speech, but it's going out there and making a big play at a key time. It's supporting a teammate in a key situation. And I think sometimes those little things are forgotten, and that's what we're trying to just make sure that they're part of our everyday situation.
Yeah, I'd forgotten or just not recognized, right? Mm-hmm. And so I hear all of that just from my experiences playing. Jason Bottrell joining Craig and I and the Instigators here in studio. About 10 more minutes, 15 more minutes. 20 more minutes, but no, I'm just joking. 10 more minutes or so. Got to talk. I want to talk about some of the young guys, obviously. You know, the Johnson kid that you drafted, Matias Samuelson. But, you know, you brought back a few guys from last year. Riv and I were talking. What are the expectations and I guess, conversations like when re-signing Gergensen and Larson for next year? Just two guys specifically that I truly believe, and I'll tell you, that I think they have a role. I think if they establish themselves... I thought that there were times last year they might have been some of the strongest hockey players that they had as a line. So, you know, is that a conversation you have with them and say, we need that type of player and that's what you're going to be? Because, or, you know, we can replace you with younger guys in the future? Or how's that conversation go?
No, like there's certainly the conversation. And I think there's so much focus just on what happened the second half of the year. But you take the whole, take a step back of the whole year. Like we had a great improvement in our PK. They were a big part of that. And you look at a player like Z, he brings an element of being able to get on the forecheck, being able to finish his check. It's an element that we don't have a lot of on our team. So there's a role for him to be successful, for sure. And, you know, with both those players, they're players that want to have long-term success here, that want to be here, that talked about multi-year contracts. But we just didn't feel comfortable right now with it. And both sides realize there's a lot on the line. The team wants to have success. They're also, from a personal standpoint, both becoming unrestricted free agents next year, they want to continue on and be legitimate NHLers and have success in this. So again, we think we're going to get a couple motivated players to come into our group here and be hungry. And they certainly see the role, and I think they relish those roles, but they want to take on more too. And that's what we need to have. We need to have inner competition here. And I think Ralph is going to talk a lot about it. You're going to see through training camp and even at the start of the season, I know people have mock rosters, but there's going to be a lot of moving parts in that. And that's the great thing about having a new head coach. And he's going to come in and prove it. Prove it to me what you can bring.
That's the difficulty too, Riv. Go ahead and jump in here.
When you look at the roster, throughout the entire roster, everybody's signed, everybody's here. But it seems like you brought back a lot of players from last year on a team that did not have the success that you would have wanted. Mm-hmm. But you believe in a lot of these players. And a lot of these players right now, it seems like they're put in a situation where they need to go and earn what they're going to get next. Mm-hmm. Olofsson's on a one-year deal. Vesey's on a one-year deal. Reinhardt, Sheary, Mittelstadt, Rodriguez, Gergensen, Larson, Montour. I mean, it goes on and on and on in this roster that it seems like you've put players in a position to say, if you want to be here and you want to get paid and have success, you need to go out and earn it.
Nothing
and
wrong with a little discomfort.
No, without a doubt. And that's, we're in an industry right now. You have to have results. You have to take steps, and you have to be in that discussion for playoffs. That's what we have to do as an organization here. And reflecting back on the year, there was positives from our group. And it's like, but we could not sustain it for 82 games. So what do we do? Let's try to support the group as much as possible. Marcus Johansson is a player that has playoff experience, enjoys carrying the puck through the neutral zone, can create opportunities there. Boom, he's another guy that can help drive a line there. Jimmy Vesey is a guy that will go to the front of the net, score goals in an area that we struggle with. That helps our group, complements our group there. I thought, again, last year we did not move the puck out of our own end. So we now have a full year of Brandon Montour. We have bringing in Colin Miller. We're bringing in Jokin Harju. You look at what their stats bring, it's about that first pass, getting out of our zone. Get the pucks to our forwards so they can accomplish more things in the offensive zone versus spending too much time in our D zone. So those are the things that we tried to accomplish this year. And I think even in my end-of-the-year press conference, we talked a lot about bringing more depth at the forward group. We think we've done that. We were very excited last year of Jack, Sam, and Jeff, what they contributed offensively. We know we have high-end scorers with those three guys. Now it's up to Casey Mittelstadt to take the step. Tage Thompson takes it. Olofsson, great year last year, take the step. You're going to get the opportunity, now capitalize on it. And then bring in some more guys who have been in the league a little bit with VC and Johansson to help that group to bring a lot of competition there.
So you brought in more competition, and a question, Bots, I'm sure you and I used to ask ourselves when we were players, Craig, maybe not so much, maybe a more solidified role in Montreal and in your places, but maybe you, as a young buck, you could understand it, but how many jobs are available? That was the question always. I mean, earning a job, is that something realistic? I used to always come to camp and be like, is there a spot available? Look at all these players. Mm-hmm. How do I earn a spot? How do I go about doing that? How many jobs are really available?
Well, look, I think you just have to look at our tracker. It's not just words that we're saying, oh, there's jobs available. We'll do whatever it takes if our young guys step up. whether it was Molson, whether, you know, last year with Scott Wilson down in the minors, we're willing to put one-way contracts in the minors if younger players are ready to take their jobs. Mm. And that's what's, you know, should excite them coming in here, and it's what's the message Ralph has been delivering to all the guys throughout the year.
No, I'll say this from experience. No, and you, I mean, could you imagine coming to going to being sent down on a one-way deal back in the day? How awful that would have felt being a veteran player. That's got to light a little fire under some guys, in my own opinion. The fear of just being back in the minors as a big ticket guy. Yeah, all right.
One guy that we haven't talked about, which to me, when you brought him in, I was very surprised.
Yep.
And the reason why I say that is this. Right-handed defensemen in the National Hockey League are a premium.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked up a player that in last year in, I think, 65 games had 29 points. So he was on pace for a high 30. The year before had 10 goals and 41 points. And you picked him up for a third-round draft pick from Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
How were you able to... I would consider it steal this player for a third round draft pick for a guy that's a point producing defenseman with a big heavy shot who's a right handed shot in Colin Miller.
Love watching him skate too, by the way.
No, love, and this is a player that I've certainly followed very closely. Had some when I was running Wilkes-Barre. He played in Manchester and I believe won a Calder Cup down there with them, and just it was that shot, especially on the power play, was such a weapon, and just that. He's a great skater, but also moves the puck extremely well. And from our standpoint, again, we talked about cap space. It was an asset that we had available cap space to help our group. And, you know, with Colin, what we love about is he's learned from, you talked about earlier about leadership. Like, he's learned from it in Vegas, being a part of that magical group the last couple of years there. Previously being in Boston, learning under a Chara, learning under a Krejci or Bergeron. And that's what we want him to bring into our locker room. He has playoff experience here now. And but the biggest thing that we brought is, you look at it, Montour, Miller, Joki Harju, that ability to skate and that ability to make that first pass, that's what we want to try to improve on with our group. And you saw it, obviously, with Rasmus Dahlin last year, what he can do it with his hockey sense and just that ability. And that's what we're trying to get our entire group there. And we feel we've improved in that element. Now it's important for us to go out there and show that.
Do you like the idea of, like, we're talking about some pretty darn good defensemen. When you start to work, defense pairings, and that is obviously going to change throughout training camp, and guys are going to earn jobs. But Rasmus Ristolainen's had a lot on his plate the last number of years that he's been here in Buffalo. One of the big things is he's, I think, taken on a big role of playing very large minutes for this hockey team, sometimes a little bit unjust and unfair. With the depth that you have on defense as of right now, certainly with Montour and Miller on the right-hand side and Risto, is this a good thing that you and have you discussed with Risto that, hey, listen, Risto, you may not be playing 27 minutes a night. We may drop you down to 22, 23 minutes. You know, are these things the dialogue that you have with certain players like Risto?
Yeah, Risto's a very proud player. He wants to be on the ice all the time. He wants to be in a situation where he's in offensive zones opportunities where he can help create offense opportunities, but he also wants to play against other teams' top players. You've seen him, you know, last year I think some of his best games was when he was matched up against an Ovechkin or against a Kucherov. Like, he really excelled in those situations there. So, but we've had those conversations and we will continue to have, like, his energy level at the end of the games, when you have him more in the lower 20s, it just gives him that extra little bit versus, you know, playing 25, 27 minutes. Yeah, he can certainly do it. But do you have that drive when the game's really on the line? And, you know, we've talked a lot about surrounding players like Risto with more talent, with better players. The same thing we talked about with our referral group. We're looking for Casey Mittelstadt to take a jump this year. You know, he's gone through now a whole year in the National Hockey League, has experienced a lot of different things. It's important that we're asking more from him, but it's also we want to make sure that we're surrounding him with talented players. And that's where, whether it's Sam Reinhart, Marcus Johansson, Jimmy Vesey, we know we're going to put good wingers with him, and it'll give him a better opportunity to have success. And that's the same thing we're trying to do with Risto.
Rave asked a question, and we have to let you go just about a minute or two, but he asked a question about defense and the depth. A couple very good young defensemen I've been reading about with the World Juniors. They were actually paired together. I don't know if that's... I don't know if, you know, how that happens. If they just saw the logos and they're like, let's throw them together, or if they, it was just the perfect fit as a top pair defense corps for the World Junior tryouts or whatever that was. Yep. You know, talk about those guys and Dylan Cousins and his thumb and how's that coming along and kind of the, you know, the young players that you have in the system.
No, Matias Samuelsson, we know is for sure is going to be a leader of that team, just being a returning player from last year. And we were excited that Ryan Johnson got the invite to Team USA last week, and I thought he had an exceptional week there, making the jump from the USHL to playing against the top U20 players in the world. We didn't know how he could handle it, but just what was evident was his hockey sense and his skating ability. And I think he really put himself in a position where if he gets off to a good start at University of Minnesota this year, he has a good chance to make that team at Christmas time, which is outstanding. The other big one from last week for us was Eric Portillo, our goaltender in the third round. And we certainly know Eric's going to a longer-term development path as being a big goalie. Didn't know how he was going to be handled going from Swedish junior to playing against the top, you know, U20 players in the world. And he handled himself extremely well, won Sweden's two games there. So that was a, you know, great compliment for him and got us very excited.
Where will he be next year?
He'll be in Dubuque next year in the USHL. Okay. And then the plan is the year afterwards to go to University of Michigan.
Trying to rattle the other young goalies in your system too? Is that what you're trying to do? I mean, you know, Allmark one-year deal. Look out for this kid, Uka Pekalukinen. Look out for this kid. I mean, the discomfort just doesn't stop with you.
Let's be honest. You can never have too many good goalies in your organization, and that's what we're trying to do. And it's something that they're all on sort of different development paths too, which gets us excited. So there's going to be competition, but they're also a couple of years behind each other from that standpoint. And then you did mention Dylan Cousins. It was great. He did go to the tournament last week just to be around Team Canada, interact with those guys. Yeah. He's back home and up in the Yukon right now, but he'll be back. He's been spent most of the summer here in Buffalo rehabbing with our group. He's going to be back here next week. And you know, it's just another thing where I feel our performance staff has done a very good job with our young players. Dylan Cousins, Matei Pekar, who is another forward that we're very excited about, just the energy, the dynamic that he brings, the element, the ability to get on the forecheck, the energy that brings in. It's on and off.
Who's that? The kid from Barrie. I was watching Barrie play last year randomly on TV 2 years ago. Was either last year or last year's first year?
Last year was his first year.
So it was early in the season last year, and I'm watching this Barrie versus Kingston Frontenacs game, okay? And here's this kid on the penalty kill. Number 11, I think he was. Was he number 11 or 12?
Number 12, I believe.
Number 12. Gone, breakaway. I'm like, who is this kid? And then he comes back, he chops a guy, cross-checks a guy, and then runs a guy over. I'm like, who is this guy? And then you read his name, and I'm like, I think that's the kid the Sabres drafted in the fourth round. And he goes and he scores a goal and assist, and he's impressive. I mean,
look, he's got a longer development path too, but last year he played World Juniors for Czech. The World Juniors this year and Christmas are back in Czech, so he'll be a big part of that team. And what we just love about it is this guy, you're drafting 18-year-old kids. There's a long development plan for all these guys, and just his passion level, his energy to want to work with us, to be part of, and the energy you see on the ice, he brings it off the ice. Whether it's talking, communicating with our guys.
He was great on our show, too.
We brought Rusek, drafted him this year. You know, Matei is his interpreter, pretty much, when he came here for development camp. So it's great to see the guys taking leadership roles from there.
He's the kid that ran Rasmus Dahlin, and then Rasmus came back in the final day of camp last year and just absolutely buried him.
And both of them had smiles on their faces, too. So great to see that competition.
Last question I have. I know Palmer.
Let me ask one more question about a young guy.
Your show,
Yoki Haru.
Yes.
So you brought him in. I didn't know anything about him, never heard of him before. Just went on all the sites just like everybody else.
Yep.
And the Chicago fans were absolutely fuming. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. When you had the Chicago fans were upset that they let go this young player. What can you tell us about Yoki Haru and his style of play and what you're looking for him moving forward?
Well, I think similar to what we talked about with Montour and Miller, he's in that same line of defenseman, can skate extremely well. We really like his hockey sense, that first pass ability to get out of the zone. We think it can excel and really help our group of forwards. You look at his just this past year, 19-year-old kid, you talk about winning. He wins a World Junior gold medal at Christmas time, playing with UPL there, which was great to see out in Vancouver. Then he goes to World Championships and wins a gold medal with the senior men's team. So, played important roles for them at a World Championship situation there. And, we were ecstatic to have him part of our group here. We think he's one. We think he's this type of defenseman that we want to have with our group here. And And I understand the disappointment or frustration from Chicago, but I look at it as a trade that, you know, we've certainly enjoyed working with Alex a lot over a couple of years here. And it was disappointing my first year here, just the injuries that sort of set Alex back. But we hope that, I know everyone's going to be evaluating the trade after the first preseason game, but I look at it as hopefully after 5 years, both organizations are very excited because I think Alex has a great opportunity with Chicago, especially on the right side there. And we know that Henry's going to have a great opportunity here with us over the next couple of years.
I have to ask a question. Fan on Twitter wants to ask, and just Pominville, is there a chance potentially to come in as a tryout? Is it still kind of open for him? Or is he looking elsewhere? Have you chatted with him at all? Only because we're huge fans of Palmer. You know we love Palmer. I live with Palmer. I was actually supposed to live with Palmer the year you and I were going to live together. You made the right choice.
Well, you talk about just leadership and respect in the locker room. That's what Jason brings to the group there and everything. And just the different milestones that he had last year was great to see. And everyone can talk about, but he still finds a way to score goals and help a team. And we've stayed in touch with them. It's a situation where you want to bring a veteran player back, you got to make sure there's that role for him. And since you just don't want to bring someone in with a contract or just bring somebody in on a tryout and just say, oh, yeah, you know, just come in. No, you want a specific role that they can fit. And that's where, you know, we've discussed it with Jason, and he's looking around the league and also us for that right fit and stuff. But from our standpoint, amazing respect for him, and we'll continue our dialogue with him.
Jason Pominville, the softest spoken guy I've ever met. We miss him. Love him. Thank you for your time, Bots. Really appreciate you coming down here today. And look forward to what you next week, same time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Perfect. All right. Jason Bottrell, kind enough to join us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.